Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. As we work our way through Romans chapter 12, we come to verse 16, and we're just going to consider the first part of it, Romans 16a. Be of the same mind one toward another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this sentence you included in your word. As we examine it today, give us understanding. And Lord, help us to fulfill this statement in our lives together here in our church family. I pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many sounds in this world. Animal sounds, water sounds like a rippling brook or waves in the ocean. There's the wind that whispers and gusts, sounds of automobiles, sounds of objects impacting as they hit against one another like a hammer on a nail, sirens, musical instruments, even human voices. Some sounds blend together nicely and are pleasing to the ear. Like when the organ and the piano are played together and they play the same song. And they play in the same chords together, and it's a very pleasing sound. When we come together to worship, and we blend our voices together, what does God hear? Does he hear things that blend, in fact, and harmonize, are on the same page and in the same chord, and are pleasing to his ear, or does he hear conflicting sounds? Here we have this statement in Romans chapter 12 in verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. There are a few different words used in the Bible in relationship to the function of the mind, and this one particularly has to do with the thinking part of our mind, our thoughts, how we think. And it says that we are to have this thinking one towards another. That phrase indicates an interchange of thoughts as we think together here in this place, whether it be in a classroom where a teacher is speaking and a student is listening, or a student is asking a question and a teacher is answering, or whether we're blending our voices together in singing, in praying, or whatever, the interchange of our thoughts, one toward another. But it says that these are to be the same. The word is a comparison word. When you compare two things, you find that they have something in common. They look or sound alike. One reminds you of the other. They are similar. There is a sameness about them. They may not be identical. There is a difference between an organ and a piano. The sound is a bit different when you hear the piano play, the organ play, but they can play together and blend their sounds, and it's pleasing. So it is that when we have this interchange of thoughts here among us in our church family, while each of our voices distinct. You ever answer the phone and the person says hello and you know immediately who it is because you recognize their voice? Everybody has a little bit different voice. But when we sing together, our voices blend as we're singing the same notes, in the same chord, on the same page. Or if a teacher is speaking and students are listening, the thoughts are together. There's no conflict of thought. It all blends together with sameness, not necessarily identicalness, but sameness. They're in the same chord. They're on the same page. So we're being told today in our world that we are to be tolerant of all thoughts. Have you ever heard? You hear things like that in the world? Oh, we have to be tolerant of all thoughts. For example, if someone is singing with a sweet, clear voice that soothes the soul and communicates edification, and someone else is screaming incoherent words, ranting and raving in a violent manner, we're supposed to have the same reaction of acceptance to both. Isn't that strange? How do you do that? Let me put it like this. If someone is using the Bible and speaking the truth of God's word, and someone else is spouting Karl Marx's words out of Mein Kampf, how do those two things blend? They don't. I won't give you the details, but I had an experience this week. In a public place, this other person initiated the conversation, and I tried to get a word in edgewise and witness to this individual, but he was so hostile to the gospel. There was no way we could communicate with one another because we were so far off the same page. It was impossible. Impossible. It was a little irritating, to tell you the truth, but I stayed as calm as I could. But he got agitated. In a public place, it was quite an experience. But just an illustration of how things that are not the same cannot blend together, cannot harmonize, and cannot be pleasing to God. Would you go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, in the beginning of the chapter? 1 Timothy chapter 6. Actually, we'll start in verse 3. Referring to some things he mentioned in verses 1 and 2, he says in verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words. Wholesome words, as we will see in the rest of the verse, are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Then it describes this individual as proud, knowing nothing, etc., etc. And at the end, verse 5, it says, from such withdraw thyself. You see, this individual who rejects the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, dotes about questions, causes friction in the thoughts being exchanged between persons, which is the direct opposite of being of the same mind. His words are those which consist of perverse disputings that are devoid of any reasonable sense and contain no truth at all and cannot possibly harmonize with the thoughts of true Christians. Go back to chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. Chapter 1 and verse 3. Where Paul says to Timothy, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith. So do Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and a faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Other doctrine. According to verse 10, anything that is contrary to sound doctrine. Fables. Fiction. Totally made up. Out of thin air. From man's imagination. Endless genealogies. Searching out things from the past that can't be verified. Ever hear of so-called scientists spouting things about 500 million years ago? Who is there to tell you that actually happened? Where's the record? There isn't any. And yet people search out all these things of the supposed past and make almost a religion out of it. Ministering questions, not legitimate questions. Legitimate questions seek clarification, and there is absolutely nothing wrong with anybody asking a question when they want clarification of a matter. But these questions are questions that raise doubts and object to the truth. Vain jangling, words that make a lot of noise and don't make any sense at all. Like a small child who has never had a piano lesson in his life and goes to the piano, you know, bang, bang, bang. Dissonant chords, if there are any chords at all, just noise. That's what vain jangling is, just noise. And these people desired to be teachers. They desired to be influencers, saying things they don't even understand, repeating things that they've heard that don't make sense. They don't really understand it, but the person they heard it from must be smart, so I'm going to repeat it. There are people who seem to enjoy certain types of music that consists of screaming lyrics and dissonant sounds. Dissonant sounds, you know, sounds that do not harmonize. There's a lot of that kind of noise out in the world. We must beware of thoughts that have the same kind of effect on our minds. People can say words that sound so profound but mean nothing, or even worse, contradict the truth. If believers sharing thoughts of the truth, that is, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and the words of sound doctrine, try to harmonize fiction and unverifiable tales of the past and doubt-generated questions and noisy words without substance, it would be like the organist playing one song and the pianist playing another song and the congregation trying to sing a third song. How would that go? Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. We are told these days that we should not make a big deal about doctrine because doctrine divides. Well, it should. verse 17 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Here's the point. Division in churches over doctrine does never come from preaching the truth. It always comes from those who change the truth into a lie. And so, let's look more on the positive side of things. That's the negative aspect of it. The dangers that we need to avoid. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Speak the same thing. There is to be a conversation among us, not a blind following. I don't know how much you know about medieval times and the condition of the Catholic Church back then, but you should know that one of the reasons that period of time is sometimes referred to as the Dark Ages is because there was almost no literacy back at that time. People couldn't read and write. The only people who could read and write were the clergy. So you couldn't read the Bible. In fact, you weren't even allowed to have a copy of the Bible. The only copies of the Bible were in the church building, and you went to church and you listened to the priest pontificate, and that's all you knew. Just a blind following. How many of you have a copy of the Bible with you right now? Raise them up. Let's look. Look at all the Bible. Isn't that wonderful? And you all have them open. And you're following along. As I preach, I must be willing to have a conversation with anyone who wants to ask a question, who wants to add a point to what I have said, who wants a clarification. If I'm not willing to have that conversation, then I am guilty of pontificating, and that's not right. We are to have a conversation. And as it says here, that ye all speak, but as we speak the same thing. I'll continue with the music metaphor as an illustration. In our hymn book, there's a hymn number 241. It's entitled, "Like a Golden Censer." Did you ever hear of that hymn? We've never sung it. But let's suppose that the pianist starts playing hymn number 241 and the organist starts playing hymn number 41, "Now Thank We All Our God," which is familiar to us. They would not be on the same page. And as a result, what do you think that would sound like? I'm almost tempted to have them come up here and do that. No. You know what it would sound like without doing it, right? Not being on the same page only leads to confusion. So in our conversation about biblical things, we need to be on the same page. That ye all speak the same thing. It also says in this verse that we're to be perfectly joined together in the same mind. Perfectly joined together It's the same word that was used over in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 21 when Jesus came along to James and John and they were mending their nets. They were perfectly joining their nets. There were tears in the nets that they were using for fishing, and they were perfectly joining them together. There should be no things that need to be mended among us. If there are, we need to mend them and make sure that we are perfectly joined together in the same mind. The part of the mind in particular that processes reason and understanding. We should have such a connection with one another that we are able to help each other come to the same conclusions. And be perfectly joined together in the same judgment. We should have a connection with one another that helps each other have the same discernment so that our definition of right and wrong is exactly the same. Our definition of good and evil is the same. Our definition of truth and error is exactly the same. He says that there be no divisions among us. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. It's interesting that this subject is not addressed just in one place, but in several. It seems to be important to God for us to be of the same mind. So he says here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded." If you would look up the Strong's Concordance and look at the Strong's number, it's the same number as in Romans chapter 12 and verse 16. Like-minded, same mind, same thing. And have the same love, he says. Exactly the same, no difference. Be of one accord so that our lives are in perfect harmony. He even uses the music metaphor here. Singing the same song, on the same page, harmonizing together. While some might be singing soprano and some alto and some tenor and some bass, we're all in the same chord and we're blending our voices together. And so he says at the end of the verse, be of one mind, thinking the same things. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Now, in the context, in verse 12, Paul says that he does not consider himself to have already attained. That is, he knows he's not perfect. Anybody here attained? Anyone reached perfection? You have nothing to improve upon. You're absolutely there. I want to meet you and shake your hand. No. We must never come to the point where we consider ourselves to have attained perfection and there's nothing to improve upon. But as far as we have grown together, and we have, a lot of us have been here a lot of time together. And we've grown together. We're more than just people who gather in the same place every Sunday. We're friends. We're family. We talk to one another. We help out with one another. We're involved in one another's lives. We're family. And so, let's not go backwards. Let's not let any one of our fellow church family members fall back into the old ways. As far as we have attained together as a church family, let's, in our conversation with one another, encourage one another to maintain the same rule and the same mind. Walk by the same rule. Not a set of rules, do's or don'ts. The word rule there in verse 16, same rule, is the word for measure, a measuring device. You ever refer to a yardstick as a rule? Or a ruler is 12 inches long, a rule, a measuring device. My height is 178. It is. Yeah. Now, if you're thinking inches, you're not on the same page. That's centimeters. In inches, it's only 70. You can measure things differently. Don't you love it the way that the lumber yards measure boards now? What is a 2x4? Oh, is it down to 3.5 now? 3.5 by 1.5. And yet they still call it a 2x4. Something wrong with that. How do we measure where we are? What do we use to measure our progress? It's this book. This is it. And if we try to use anything else, if we want to measure ourselves by other churches, I'm afraid there's going to be something wrong somewhere. If we try to measure ourselves by so-and-so's book, How to Grow Your Church. I get these telephone calls and advertisements, emails all the time. How to Grow Your Church. Or something along that line. And they've got the formula. How many times have I told you when I first came here 30 years ago what was going to be the measuring rod? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And so we measure it by the word of God. Mind the same thing, he says, as we are all measured by the same doctrinal statement, all measured by the same truth in the Word of God. We are all to focus our thoughts according to that measure. Why is this so important? Would you go to Romans chapter 15? Romans chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. Romans chapter 15, verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Jesus Christ, that ye may with one mind and one mouth do what? Glorify God. whether it's a teacher teaching a class, a student answering a question, someone playing an instrument, a group singing a special, our congregation singing hymns, the preacher preaching and the congregation listening, or personal conversations before and after our services. All of our thoughts are to be on the same page, harmonize, and come from the same source, God's truth, all so that we can do one thing, glorify God. That's why we don't clap and applaud for anybody's performance. Because no individual is supposed to come here and absorb the glory that belongs to God. This church service is all about Him. Have you ever listened to a symphony orchestra play? You know, there can be as many as 60 to 90 instruments involved in a symphony orchestra, all playing the same song, all playing the same, on the same page, and the music can be beautiful. This is the way a local church should be. All members working together as one, not only in what we do, but in what we think. So that when God tunes in, what He hears from this place shines the glory on Him. I'm reminded of a story I heard a long time ago. It's about some monks in a monastery, but if you can get past that part of it, these monks would have chapel service every weekend, and they would sing, and their voices were so beautiful, and God was so pleased. One time they decided to have a great concert soloist come and sing to them. This was a famous man. And they had to pay him to get him to come. But he came and he sang with his great voice. God sent an angel to the monks afterwards and said, "You didn't have chapel this time. What happened?" "Oh, yeah, yeah, we did. We had this great singer." God said, "I didn't hear a thing." It's not for us to absorb what belongs to God. I'm not to promote my thoughts. I'm only to share His thoughts as I preach. And our conversation together should be the same. We all subscribe to God's thoughts. We share His thoughts. We think His thoughts. And we glorify Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this simple little sentence, that we be of the same mind one toward another. Thank You for the harmony that we do have, and I pray that, Lord, we might continue to enhance that more and more, that not only would our voices blend together in our singing, but our thoughts would blend together in your hearing, and you would be pleased as we have the same mind one toward another here. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.